Welcome to the podcast today. This is Bruce Townsend, and we have been studying on the subject of faith. What faith is the title, and I trust that you've been charged and encouraged by the Word of God during this study. Let's go to the prayer, and then we'll dig right into the Word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to hear the Word of God. We trust our lives to your provision, to the provision of the Word. And as men and women of faith, we know that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every rhema word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we feed upon the bread of life today, upon your Word. We pray that you'll give us understanding, knowledge, and wisdom as we open the Word of God today in teaching and exhortation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to our foundation scriptures in Hebrews 11, and then we're going to jump right back to Romans 12 again. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting with verse 1, says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Many people want to know where God's rewards are, why they're not being rewarded enough. Well, maybe you're not pleasing God. Maybe you're not living by faith. Maybe you're trying to beg God into a reward rather than believe God. And then over in Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So we want to talk today in regards to faith about the renewing of the mind, to renew our minds with the Word of God. And the first verse we read there had to do with your body, that when we consider someone who lives by faith, they're living by faith by the way that they think, and their words and their actions will follow your thinking. The faith-oriented person has a mind that's ruled by the Word of God. They are word-ruled minded. The person who's in doubt and unbelief has a sense-ruled mind. In other words, instead of living according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says we walk by faith and not by sight, the faith person is walking by faith. He's word-ruled. His faith is in the Word of God, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The person who's walking by sight, sight is of the senses. So they're going to believe only what their senses can tell them. And so if the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, with the stripes you are healed, they're going to say, well, I know that that says that in the Bible, but my body's telling me something different. And actually, what we have is two types of knowledge here. We have a knowledge, a revelation knowledge, a knowledge that comes by the Word of God, and we have sense knowledge, knowledge that is understood by the senses. And it's the one you give your agreement to is the one that becomes a reality in your life. That it's revealed to us by the Word of God that Jesus took stripes upon his body, he's beaten by a Roman cat of nine tails, a whip. And what he went through was a sacrifice for you, that you could receive healing in relationships. First of all, your healing of your relationship with God himself, and healing in your physical body. But your body has another type of knowledge. Your body feels the pain. Your body feels the discomfort. And you have to choose what you're going to believe. Remember, faith is a title deed. Faith is the evidence that you have possession of something even before you can see it. So the word rule mind will say, even though I feel the pain in my body, yet I'm calling myself healed. I believe that I'm the healed. And my evidence of that is I have faith in the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:24, with his stripes I am healed. And so instead of going around talking about I'm sick, I hurt, they're going to begin to possess their possession of 1 Peter 2:24 by confessing, speaking that with the stripes of Jesus Christ that they are healed. So when we talk about the renewed mind, we have to deal with the body first of all. Back to verse 1 of Romans 12 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, your reasonable form of worship. That worship begins with the yielding of yourself to the Lord. Let's keep our places there in Romans. Let's look briefly over at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Starting with verse 24, says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense or reward every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So Jesus will come back at a time for final judgment. Everyone will be judged and given a reward according to their deeds, according to what they did. Now there's a heresy that goes around that once you pray that and ask Jesus to become the Lord of your life, that's all there is, that's automatically salvation, regardless of how somebody lives after that. Well, how they live after that is the evidence of whether they receive that grace by faith or not. And it's something that's received by faith. And faith is not separate from your actions. As we've given an illustration in the past, is if someone runs into a building and says, fire, well, if you had faith in what the man said when he yelled fire, you would get up and get out of the building. Your actions would be in agreement with how you believe. And so when someone says or claims to be a Christian, they claim that Jesus Christ is their Lord, but they don't live the life of a Christian, then, and we've read this in a past session, is that according to 1 John chapter 2, they're a liar. They don't know God. When God's word is not being lived in their lives. And so here we are exhorted in Matthew 16 to sacrifice your soul, to give your soul. What that means is that sacrifice is in terms of denying yourself. In other words, Adam and Eve chose to live for themselves, not deny themselves, when it was a conflict regarding keeping God's commandment of not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to decide for themselves what was good and evil. They didn't want to deny themselves by submitting to the authority of God. And so when we deny ourselves, it doesn't mean you're going without food, without provision. What it means is that you submit to God's word. You deny yourself of sitting on God's throne. You deny yourself of putting yourself in God's place in order to obey God and to keep His laws, to keep His commandments. And so, what would a man profit if he gained the whole world and yet he was disobedient to the will of God, the word of God, the law of God, and he lost his soul? So, in order to live by faith, we must yield ourselves wholly to God, to live for Him totally. And that is a reasonable form of worship. Worship means nothing to sing hymns, to go to church, and yet not yield your body as worship to the Lord. And by doing that, that means, according to Romans 6, we no longer yield our members as slaves to sin, but we yield our members as slaves to righteousness. We ask the Lord to help us to keep His commandments better and better, and we constantly and progressively get more and more victory over sin in our lives. And then dropping down to verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, or be in the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to read that same verse, actually both those verses, from the expanded translation of the New Testament by Kenneth Wiest, which says, I therefore beg of you, please, brethren, through the instrumentality of the aforementioned mercies of God, by a once-for-all presentation, to place your bodies at the disposal of God, a sacrifice, a living one, a holy one, well-pleasing, your rational, sacred service, rational in that this service is performed by the exercise of the mind. That's how you yield your body. Your body's going to follow your mind. Your body's going to follow your thoughts. If you have thoughts or cravings for apple pie, you're either going to remove that thought or your body's going to follow it. You either change your thought or you're going to take that thought and make it a reality with your body. If you're bound by certain habits like tobacco, and if you don't govern your thinking, if you don't learn how to control the thoughts of your mind and renew your mind, when that image comes to your mind, even though you may despise having that habit, you're going to follow, your body's going to follow that habit and follow that thought pattern and give in to it unless you change the way that your mind thinks. And this has more to, it's more than will. Will's not enough by itself. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Now, your will has a part. Your will is to decide, is to make a choice. But the power to be delivered is not in your will, it's in the faith. And so you use your will to hear God's word and renew your mind, and as your mind's renewed, the faith will be there to deliver you from those patterns and conformity to the world, whether it's tobacco that you want to be set free from, poverty, lack, sickness, disease, lack of peace in your heart because of depression. It is deplorable to find Christians that are on psychiatric drugs and antidepressants because they're immature in their thinking. They haven't renewed their minds, and therefore they want a quick fix. They want a magic pill to take the place of faith. Faith removes mountains. You won't be depressed when you move the mountain out of the way. You won't have a problem removing the mountain with your faith when you renew your mind. But the problem is that your mind's not going to be renewed by watching TV for 6 hours a day, or playing games all day long, or seeking after the pleasures of the world. Your mind becomes renewed and comes in harmony with God's will when you feed on the Word of God. And again, that's our subject for today, is how to renew the mind. So, this service, your body will be, is a slave. It's a slave to your mind. It's a slave to desires and appetites unless you renew the mind and have an appetite for the Word of God. And so the body is a slave. It's going to follow the mind. Well, think about it. Your body is totally dependent upon your mind. If you have no mind, your body doesn't live. If your mind doesn't control your heartbeat, your heart won't beat. Your heart beats because what modern man calls the unconscious mind does that automatically for you. Your breathing's controlled by your mind. Your blood pressure is controlled by your mind. Your digestion, your hormones, everything in your body is a slave to your mind. It's controlled by the mind. And so sickness and disease is an effect of the mind. Health experts say that 85% of all disease is related to stress. And stress comes to everybody's life. Stress is, it's inescapable that stressful situations will occur. It is escapable that you can control the stress. You can not merely manage it, you can have peace all the time. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule continually in your heart, acting as an umpire, deciding, settling with all finality all questions that arise to your minds." That's from the Weiss translation. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And when that peace rules in your heart, that peace will affect your body and keep it healthy, keep it rested. You'll be able to sleep a whole night's sleep with and wake up and be energetic, which helps you be productive, which helps you work, which helps you get victory in other areas of your life. It all goes back to the renewing of the mind and goes back to faith. And so your body is a slave to the mind, and you are to yield that body as a slave, as a living sacrifice, not a dead one. It's not so much how you die for Jesus, it's how you live for him. Anybody who claims that if they were persecuted for the faith, they'd be willing to die for him, but they're not living for him, they're not getting deliverance from the power of sin in their life and getting more victory in their life, if they're not a living sacrifice, they won't offer themselves up to be a dead one either. And so it goes on to say, and stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will, and having found that it meets specifications, place your approval upon it. So change your outward expression. If you are a Christian, you're regenerated, Christ lives in your heart, you've received the Holy Spirit, and yet you live in fear, anxiety, you send your kids to public schools to be conformed to the world, you are living in light of the philosophies of this world. Your political thinking is in harmony with this world rather than searching out the Word of God and renewing your mind to what the Word says about that. Then what you are doing is your outward expression is in conflict with your inner being, with your soul. And that conflict causes turmoil and anxiety and a breakdown in your peace, in your body, in the well-being of your mind. When you're full of anxiety because of what's taking place in the world and your heart hasn't become a stronghold for God and for His thoughts, then you have a conflict of trying to live in conformity to the world rather than in conformity to the image of Him who lives within you, Christ. And that's the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is to be conformed to the image, not conformed to the world, but be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in his character and in his power. And if you're walking around with the power of God, every mountain in your life is going to be removed. I'm not saying you won't have any tests or trials or troubles in your life. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But what I'm saying is you'll get victory over them. The tests will come, but you'll pass the tests and be promoted in the kingdom of God. The troubles will come, but you'll overcome the troubles. The difficulties will come, but you'll overcome the difficulties. And you'll not be as though someone who has no covenant and without hope in the world. You're one who has a covenant with God. You have hope, and you have a joyful expectation, which is what hope is, a joyful expectation of a future event. The future event is seeing the reality of your victory. And that, again, according to 1 John 5:4, you're born of God, you've overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Every trouble, every difficulty that comes to you is of the world, but you are to be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world for you. You're born of God. You're born a world overcomer. Now exercise that victory through your faith. So, we all know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite would be one who claims to be a Christian, but inwardly he's conformed to the world. He's corrupt in his heart, corrupt in his nature, evil by nature, a son of disobedience, a son of Satan, and yet people may think he's a Christian because outwardly he may sound and may appear to act like a Christian. That would be a hypocrite. I remember reading a book on how Hitler took over the Christian church in Germany. And Hitler would look very pious coming out of a church, his pictures being taken. Well, politicians have been doing this for generations. Politicians who are, Matthew 7 would be wolves with sheep's clothing. Now, a shepherd is one, it's not talking about a wolf who's acting like a sheep. He's one who's acting like a shepherd. A wolf wants to take a place of leadership, so he doesn't want to be a sheep. He wants to be the shepherd. He wants to be the one controlling the sheep. And sheeple, people who are sheep, are still running over the cliff after the lead sheep who follows the wolf. And it's happening by many Christians who are immature, who are not, their minds aren't renewed, and they can't discern good and evil very well. They can't discern evil politicians because they don't know what the Word of God says doctrinally enough about things like war, abortion, education, inflation, economics. They haven't studied those things out, and therefore they're not applying their faith to every area of life. As a world overcomer, we overcome every area of life. We are to penetrate every area of life. And not by revolution, but by regeneration, changing the hearts of people and helping them renew their minds. We have collectively, as well as individually and covenantally, we gain victory more and more over every area of society because our society is to be changed by our faith. We are world overcomers. There is nothing in the world that should not be overcome by faith. Again, it's not by outward revolution. It's by inward regeneration. It's not by compelling people, compulsion, to make them conform to the image of Christ and God's law. It comes by the preaching of the gospel, and then living that gospel and living that faith in every area of life, casting down every imagination. And so the hypocrite is one who puts on a mask. He puts on a Christian mask to hide the corruption of the world that is in his heart. But unfortunately, as weak and immature Christians, many times we put on the world's mask and mask the glory of God that's within us. And we mask the faith that is in us because we haven't renewed our minds so that we live that regenerated life more and more outwardly. And as our minds are renewed, it results in we put to test the will of God. Now, we're not testing God. The Bible's clear that we are not to put God to the test. We're not finding out if God's word is real or not. We're not testing God to see if he's going to come through and being faithful to his word. No, we're testing ourselves to live in harmony with God's will. We're testing for ourselves. We're testing our own lives. And by renewing our minds, we put the will of God in our lives, and therefore it brings our bodies in harmony with God's will. It'll bring our finances in harmony with God's will. It'll bring thusly, as more and more Christians begin to live this way, it brings our cities, our counties, our states, our nation, and the world in the harmony with God's will. It's not something that'll happen overnight, but we know that as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, according to Matthew 6:33, all these things will be added to us, and that the kingdom of God is like leaven. When you put a little bit of yeast in a wheat dough, it's going to leaven the whole dough so that it begins to rise. And so we, like wheat, yeast or leaven, we're to leaven the whole world with the preaching and proclamation and living in accordance with God's word. Let me share Phillips' translation of this part about being conformed to the world. He says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." The world has a mold of how to be politically correct, how to live in fashion with the world, and yet the world is bound by sin and death. The wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:33. And we're not to be squeezed into the world's mold. The mold wants you to like its form of entertainment. It wants you to have its philosophies. It wants you to think the world is going to implode because supposed destruction of the ozone layer, which is not proven by any means, and that salvation therefore is kind to come by giving more and more control of your life over the central planners, over the politicians, over to the public education system, and that they are going to save us. Well, there's no salvation in that. In fact, their own theories brings us to destruction, because being evolutionists, they believe that the world is actually winding down and getting worse and worse. As Christians, we believe that God will renew not only us individually, but renew all of creation. Let's look at how to renew our minds. Let's look over in the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It's the sixth book of the Bible. Now here's the setup for this. This is coming towards the end of Moses' life. And now Moses has died. Joshua 1 and 2 says, well, actually, let's go to 3. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses.'" Now, here Moses has died, and you are his protege, and you have to lead in Moses' place. You have to lead a rebellious people, a people that wanted to go back to slavery, the people that cried, moaned, complained, sinned greatly, rebelled. And they scarcely followed Moses, Moses who God used to split the Red Sea, Moses who gave them, by the miracle of God working through him, manna from heaven, the quails, the provision, conquered enemies. And now you have to take his place and lead this people and lead after that man is led. And you think, what do I have? What could I do? What ability that I could I have? Joshua must have been thinking. And so whatever God tells him to do, he's... And apparently Joshua was a bit discouraged that Moses was dead, and he is going to have to also replace Moses. And so whatever God says is highly important here, that's going to give Joshua the ability to succeed in keeping God's commandments and fulfilling the the role and the place that God has for him to go in and conquer this land. Verse 6 says, let's back up. Verse 5 says, well, I can't skip any of this. Back to verse 4. So verse 3 says, every place that your foot treads, I've given it to you, so you're going to possess something. There's things that if you're listening to me right now, there's things that you need to possess. It might be financially, it might be a business, might be a job, might be finding a mate, a husband, or a wife. It may be regarding your family, bringing peace and harmony to your family. There's things within our society that we need to conquer for the Lord. And then, so this applies to you too. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, obviously, Joshua was tempted to be afraid. He was discouraged. He must have been trembling. Otherwise, why would the Lord tell him not to tremble or be dismayed? And God is promising to go with him. He didn't promise him that he would not have any tests. He would not have any troubles. He did not promise him that there would not be difficulties. What he promised is, I'm going to go with you. And as a covenant partner, Joshua, we're going to go through this together. I'll be your armor. I'll be your sword. I'll be your buckler, your shield. I'll be your provision. I'll be everything to you that you need. I'll be everything to you that you need have any need of. Whatever you need of. If you need provision, I'm your provider. If you need protection, I'm your defender. If you need wisdom, I'm the source of your wisdom. If you have knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Everything you have need of, I am to you. And he says to be strong, be full of courage, because you're going to possess this. You're going to do this thing. You have the ability to do what I've called you to do. So don't be discouraged. Be full of courage. And this is how you're going to be full of courage. This is how you're going to be strong and courageous. You're going to do all the law. You're going to keep all my commandments. You won't turn to the left or to the right. Let me tell you, when you break God's commandments, you're not going to be strong. You're not going to be courageous, because sin makes cowards of us all. Because when you sin, you lose your confidence that you have in Christ. Because sin, the wages of sin is death. It will bring destruction. It'll bring the curse. But the gift of God is eternal life. And in that gift of eternal life, God not only forgives us of our sin when we repent, he delivers us and redeems us from the power of sin. And according to Hebrews 10, now he's written his law on our hearts and in our minds. If you're in Christ, if you're a new creation in Christ, if you are a Christian, from the heart. So don't turn away from these commandments. Well, how am I going to keep the commandments then? Well, God has an answer for this too. This book of the law, in other words, the books, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that Moses had written by the inspiration and dictation of God by the Holy Spirit. It's not written by Moses. Moses' hand did the writing. It was God's word. So, and these first five books of the Bible contain the law of God. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you're to speak about it. You're to talk about it. You're to say what God's word says about you, Joshua. You're to speak about God's commandments. So number one is, speak the word of God. Number two, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate means ponder, study, think about. So not just reading, to dwell on this. Let your mind go over this over and over again, Joshua. Think about how God's law in you and God's word in you is going to prevail, because I'm going to be with you, and I'm with you because my law is in your mouth, my law is in your heart, because you're meditating on it. What you meditate will be in your heart, and what you meditate and think about in abundance will be in your heart in abundance. So he's saying you're going to meditate on this a lot, day and night. This doesn't mean just merely reading the Bible. You can't read the Bible day and night. You have to go to work. You have to prepare your meals. You have to do the dishes or wash the car. There's other things you do. But you can do all that and your mind still meditates the Word of God. You can drive your car and your mind's meditating the Word of God. When a problem comes up, the Word should be in your heart in abundance. If pain comes into your body, the first thought shouldn't be, oh, it's flu season again. No, your first thought should be, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. Your first thought should be from Matthew 8, himself took my infirmities, bore, carried away my diseases, because you've been meditating the Word day and night. When you're tempted to sin, your first thought should be to deny yourself and give your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, to pick up your cross and follow after the Lord, to sacrifice your desires in order to fulfill and test and prove for yourself the will of God in your life. If the thought of lack comes, your first thought should be along the line, which should be the Word of God, such as Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or Deuteronomy 29:9, keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Or Deuteronomy 8:19, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who's given you the power to get wealth. Or 3 John 2, beloved, I would above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So meditating on the Word of God, you will no longer be in the world's mold. And that word conform there can also be translated as scheme, as a pattern. The world has patterns, and those patterns are controlled by the curse that was brought about when Adam and Eve sinned. The curse came. But you can rise above the curse and be victorious by your faith, which gives you victory over the world when you begin to speak and believe and act upon the Word of God instead of being conformed to the world's patterns of doing things and thinking. So, three things he tells Joshua to do in verse 8. One was, speak the Word of God. Two, meditate on it day and night. And three, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. The third thing was to act upon it. If you believe that you're well, then you begin to act well. If you believe that you're prosperous, you start making provision for success. You start living the way that prosperous people live. You start thinking like prosperous people think. Prosperous people see opportunities. I'm looking for opportunities. Poor people, all they see is obstacles and mountains. Faith people speak to the mountains, have them removed. Though doubters are talking about how big the mountain is. Believers are talking about how far the mountain's been removed and cast into the sea, how deep it's buried in the ocean. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Are you dealing with failure in your life right now? Are you dealing with lack? Here's the key. It says, if you do these three things, Joshua, if you'll speak God's word, if you'll meditate it day and night, and if you'll act upon it, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Your confidence in the Lord comes by a confidence in His Word. And if you won't read and meditate and study and think about God's Word, the confidence will not be there, and therefore the success will not be there. The prosperity will not be there. The healing will not be there. The peace will not be there. The family harmony will not be there. The job will not be there. The business will not be there. How do you make all those things successful? By speaking God's word, particularly the law of God, of keeping His commandments. 2, meditating on it day and night. 3, then acting on it. Acting, which means to be conforming yourself not to this world, but conform yourself to God's law, word, keeping His commandments, thinking His thoughts, and then penetrating the world's systems with your faith and bringing that faith to every sphere of life. You have a choice to be ruled by the Word of God, to be word-ruled minded, as Joshua was, or to be sense-ruled minded. I'm going to quote from E.W. Kenyon in his book, The Two Kinds of Life, on the chapter 14 on the renewed mind. Just have to find a place where I want to begin. He says, I'm going to read about half a page here. He says, He promised to cooperate with us. His spirit cooperates with our spirits. Now you can see the necessity of taking your time to meditate in the Word, to get quiet with the Lord. You had to take time to learn your algebra, your mathematics, your history, and your geography. Now you must take time to sit with His Word and let the Spirit unveil His Word to your spirit. If you will, you will know Him in reality. If you will not, you will need to have someone else act for you, pray for you, and believe for you. He promised to come and associate with your very heart life. I think Paul brings it out most clearly in Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. It is God who has made His home in my body. It is God who is at work within me. Quoting from John 4, greater is He who is in you than he that's in the world. That is where the Holy Spirit has come and identified Himself with you. The Holy Spirit has come to live in your very being. Know ye not, quoting from the Bible again, he says, know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? That comes from 1 Corinthians 6. He is there. I'm learning to do this. I become quiet and say, Blessed Spirit, now make the Word a living thing in my spirit. Open it to me. I go over the passage I want unveiled to me. I meditate on it. After a bit, the clamor of my mind is gone. The noise it makes is gone. You become as noisy in your intellect as you become noisy with your hands and feet. I grow quiet. Then in a single minute, or a half a minute, there will be an unveiling of the Word of God such as I have never seen before. It does not take Him more than a moment to unveil the Word, to throw up on the screen a message that will take you hours to write. Eternal life has come into your spirit. Now let God have freedom to lead you into the realities of His revelation in the Word. God is revealed to us through His Word. If you want to know God, know His Word, the Bible. If you want to know how God has, as an illustration, I think about how people get religious ideas of what heaven is like. In other words, they project their own ideas, their own opinions of what heaven will be like. Well, your opinions never changed anything in the world or any place in God's creation is certainly not going to change heaven. Heaven will not be the way you think about it. Heaven is the way it's revealed in the Word of God. God is not the way you think He is. And many people, they don't know God. They know an image of a false God that they call God, because the God they claim they know is not revealed in Scripture. He's entirely different than what they project Him to be. So our knowing God comes by knowing His Word. And when you have a word-ruled mind, you have a mind that's ruled with success and prosperity. The sense-ruled mind will come to failure. The word-ruled mind is a mind that lives by faith. The sense-ruled mind is one that's controlled by fear, doubt, unbelief, and anxiety. And you want to meditate in the Word of God day and night so that your mind becomes saturated by the Word. When your mind becomes saturated by the Word, your mind will be controlled by the Word. If you want to control your body, you control your mind. How do you control your mind? By saturating it with the Word of God, meditating in the Word day and night. And the thing that you meditate on, your mind is like running software. Your unconscious mind, again, that's the term, the conscious and unconscious mind is the terms that modern man uses. The Bible's word for the unconscious is soul or heart, the heart of man. And when you fill your heart with the Word of God, you're programming your mind to operate in a particular way. You train your mind. In fact, let's look over at Hebrews chapter 5. You train your mind, and when you train your mind will control your body. So it may seem such a huge challenge to you to live according to the Word of God instead of by your senses, because we've been trained to live by our senses. Now, you still use your senses. If I'm crossing the street, I'm walking by sight. I'm going to look. I'm not going to say, well, by faith that truck is not there, and walk across the street and get hit. No, we're not talking about foolishness. We're talking about faith. So, but your senses are to be in submission to a word-ruled mind. Now, when it comes to believing something about heaven, my senses can't contact heaven. So my mind, the reality of heaven to me comes by the Word of God and living in the kingdom of heaven. When it comes to believing God for finances, my senses may look in the checkbook and say there's not enough there. My senses may look and see the mail that came and bills that need to be paid. Instead of getting into fear and doubt and unbelief, you calm your mind and not get into that anxiety. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, then the peace of God will rule over your heart and garrison about your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think upon these things. So how do we deal with that anxiety? And verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. And how do we get that peace that makes a stronghold around our heart and mind? It's in verse 8, how we think. Think upon these things. Think upon the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God day and night. And when you do, you're training your mind to go in a new pattern, not in the mold or conformity or the patterns of the world, which leads to death and the curse of the law, but it's being transformed as you renew your mind. Your mind will change its pattern. It'll run different patterns. In other words, let's call it, because the Bible wasn't written back during the day of Microsoft and Dell computers, and let's say software. That's a pattern. Software works because it has a pattern. A programmer wrote code for that software, and when you run that software, it'll run the same patterns over and over again. So when you renew your mind, what you're doing is you're inserting new software. So you want a software that runs faith. You want a software that runs healing. You want a software running in your mind that produces prosperity, that produces success. And when you've been running a pattern of lack, defeat, escapism, despair, you can turn on the news and get in despair in an instant. Unless your mind's renewed to the Word of God, then you know that I'm born of God, I've overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. You know, according to Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And I know that everything that's happening in my life, I can give God the glory, because he's going to make it all work to our benefit. He's going to work it all to our benefit so that we come progressively more and more in conformity into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's God's overarching purpose for you as an individual, is to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, to make you like Christ in character, and to make you like Christ in power. And the power won't come without the character. Think about it. What one Christ did during his earthly ministry, Jesus' plan was to have many Christ-like people. Not many Christ, but Christ-like people. Christians. There's only one Christ, but many Christians who are conformed to his image, who will never be a Christ, but they carry Christ within them. And they carry Christ through their words and through their actions. You can see Christ in them. Through their words, you can hear Christ's words, because their minds are saturated and ruled by his word. They are not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that brings them progressively more and more, not only in harmony, into being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and transform into that image, and where God's will is progressively more and more being accomplished and being revealed and becoming visible in their lives. But they are less and less looking like the world, less and less partaking of the world's despair, partaking of the curse of the law, because the wages of sin is death. They're progressively getting victory over death. Therefore, according to Psalm 91, we're going to have a long life, that with long life he will satisfy us and show us his, let me see, I'm misquoting that. I have to go back and look at it. I don't like to quote a scripture that's not accurate. With long life, he says in Psalm 91, with a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. How do you have a long life? Is that God's saving you every day from death, every moment from death. And a society or a nation will begin to live longer and more fruitful with the peace of God as they are daily delivered from death by being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, by keeping his commandments. But if we violate his commandments, the wages of sin is death. And what is sin? Very plainly from 1 John chapter 4, or 1 John 3, sin is the transgression of the law. And when you transgress the law, it brings death, it brings the curse. The curse is explicitly revealed in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to the end of the chapter. And we can summarize that curse in being three things: death, poverty and lack, sickness and disease. And of sickness and disease, that relates back to death once again. And 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So sin is the violation of God's word. But we can overcome sin and the things of the world, because 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. That is, overcome the Antichrist he speaks about in verse 3. Because greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Right now, during the season that we're recording this, it's many people are running for a president, and it's easy to get in despair when you see that that the majority of these are Antichrist. They want to take more and more power for themselves and more power to the state and take it away from the individuals, from families, from churches, and to rule as tyrants. Tyrants means the absence of God's law, to replace God's law with their own law, their own ideas. And many of them portray themselves or put on a mask of Christianity to get a Christian vote. But nevertheless, not a only one that I can see of makes any reference, even in an implication, of God's law. And therefore, they are the politicians of death, because they are promoting humanism and promoting eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, they are deciding for themselves what is good. They are deciding for themselves what is evil, rather than looking to God's law and his commandments for what's good and what's evil. And therefore, we need to overcome them, but the way we overcome them is with our faith. We pray, but prayer without faith is not going to work. But 1 John 4:4 says we've overcome the world, and we've overcome the sons of disobedience, the children of Satan, the liars that are in the world. They are liars when they claim to be Christians, and yet they don't honor God as God, and they don't trust God for salvation. They want to bring salvation their way, which is no salvation at all. It only ends up back in the curse and in death. But you are from God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Therefore, we don't want to be in the world's patterns. We want to break the world's patterns, be free from those patterns, and be ruled by the Word of God. Well, we didn't get to Hebrews 5 yet, and our time is already out. I've enjoyed spending this time with you today. I love the Word of God. The psalmist said that the Word is sweeter than honey. And victory is sweeter. You don't have to get better. You can get better. You get better by renewing your mind, meditating in the Word, speaking the Word, acting upon the Word, and living by faith, speaking to the mountains and have them removed. And defeat is bitter, but victory is sweet. The Word of God is sweeter than honey. If you want success, victory, prosperity, you speak the Word of God, you meditate in it day and night, and you act upon that word that you heard. You keep and obey God's commandments. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that the people listening to me today will be diligent, not be slothful, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, according to Hebrews 6:12, that they'll become progressively more and more renewed in their minds, not being conformed to this world's patterns or this world's way of doing things, not being overcome by the world's systems, but overcoming the world through faith. And I pray that the blessings will come, the prosperity, the success, the job, the success in the business, the success in the home, the success in their endeavors, and their success, most of all, in being conformed, being transformed, transfigured into the very same image of God, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Till next time, this is Bruce Townsend, and I pray God's blessings upon you be faithful in keeping God's commandments, get into the Word, and build yourself up over your problems so that you can speak to the mountains and have them removed. Goodbye.